but never see the day when lyrically they could even run in the triple A's. This is the major leagues where big hits are guaranteed. The Ken Griffey Turbo 850 professional MC. One more time, that cat Devara with a sting operation so blatant we call it franchise. Man side, independent, on some enterprise. It's time to shoot straight, innovate, and make the world realize.
Okay, so Major League Baseball was supposed to have the day today. Today is Thursday, July 15th. It was supposed to be Major League Baseball's day. Obviously, they just had the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby, which I actually watched and kind of enjoyed. But they were supposed to have Yankees-Red Sox all alone. No NBA Finals. No, the Euros are over. There's nothing else going on.
And hey, there's some, like, there's some CONCACAF Gold Cup action.
Ooh, what you got? You got some money riding on that?
U.S. versus Martinique.
Mm.
That's a country.
So good job. Good job. Good effort on the pronunciation there.
Right.
But then we have some people test positive for COVID. That's still happening in sports. Like, it's funny because I was going to talk to you guys last week about how we're feeling about masks, because I was starting to feel silly. Like, I'm going into Fred Meyer and I'm the only one wearing a mask. Like, the employees aren't wearing masks. Like, obviously if the employees aren't wearing masks, none of the people going in there are going to wear masks. Sure. And so I'm just like, why am I still doing this? I look like a jackass. Obviously I have my reasons, just because, like, you know, my kid, whatever. But we see athletes testing positive for COVID now after the All-Star game, in which nobody's wearing masks, nobody is social distancing, and apparently if they're all getting COVID, they didn't get the vaccine. So,
well, that's not necessarily true.
99, was it 99%?
I don't think it's that high, is it?
Is it 90?
You could still. I
think you can still contract it. You, yeah. Just.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's like a 90% prevention rate, I believe.
See, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was prevention. I thought it was just, you know.
It means you're not going to die.
Yeah, or have, you know, serious, you know, reaction to it.
But the weird thing about the Yankees, is that this is their second, like, big COVID positivity test this year, and they're over, you know, whatever MLB's 85% magic number of vaccination. And granted, that number is a little funny because it's not players.
It could
literally be your ticket rep. Your season ticket rep is included in there, so that's a little wonky. But
the entire team could not be vaccinated, and then they'd still
They could still hit that 85%. I mean, that is true. So I have no idea, you know, if Aaron Judge is vaccinated.
I love how I think Judge was the only Yankee there. Was there a pitcher? Garrett Cole, I think, probably.
And Chapman was there.
Chapman's awful.
Which is hilarious. Because once that All-Star voting became a thing, once he was voted the All-Star game, I think his ERA ballooned to about 30.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Got that bonus in his contract. He's good to go.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I love how, Judge is the only Yankee in the dugout, yet you have three Red Sox hitters in there too. Because that's what the big thing was today, is that sounds like Judge was, you know, patient zero there. But then that forced all five Red Sox players that were there to, like, isolate right now too.
Well, I was going to say, because I thought I had heard that the Red Sox were the only confirmed positive tests, because the rest of them were doing contact tracing and stuff right now. Like, Judge was in the protocol, but I don't know if he actually tested positive. I think the only people who tested positive were, like, the Red Sox players, right?
No, I thought it was three Yankee players. It was, like, Gio Urshela and someone else from the Yankees.
Well, if I read it right, it was three members of the Yankees traveling party tested positive. Again, that could be George Steinbrenner. That could be George Costanza.
Maybe not George,
Assistant to the traveling
That could be the assistant to the travel secretary.
There you go.
And I think, so I don't think they really know who it was, but it was three in the traveling party and, you know, contact tracing, blah, 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 it all connects. But
it's a really shitty look.
But see, I like what, if you paid attention to what the Big 12, because they had their media day today, the start of it, they're basically saying, they haven't made it official, but I think Kansas State leaked it today and kind of got in some trouble, that if in this upcoming season, if your team has X amount of positive COVID tests that week, you just forfeit.
Wow.
They're not rescheduling. Yeah, they don't care. That, and it's not a forfeit like the Pac-12 did, where it was like, nothing. Oh, no decision. It's a loss.
It's a 1-0 win you for the other
lose.
Team. Yeah.
So if Oklahoma does it, bang, that is a loss.
That's a big fucking deal in college football.
And I know I was reading some comments and people were upset, you know. Oh, you can't force us to get the vaccine. You
sure
know.
Can't.
Okay. Nope. Fair enough. They can't.
Don't get
but,
it. That's fine.
But don't get it. But this is that they're being punitive now.
Yeah.
Which at this point I don't have a real problem with.
No.
Because if we're talking like November 7th and Oklahoma can't play at TCU because their entire offensive line is out with COVID. I mean, I don't feel bad for you.
We're at that point, we would have been a year and a half removed from the start of the pandemic. And let's see, when did vaccines first hit? It was like four months ago.
I would
everyone was different.
General public was probably into March.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'd be
end of February.
We'd be about half a year after the vaccine started rolling out. So you've had your opportunities, you've known the stakes, you've known everything that's going on, and you're still not taking it seriously. Like, that's on you. That, feel free, free country. Like you guys are saying, they can't force you to do anything. It is your right
absolutely
to not get it. That's absolutely fine. But there are consequences for your actions, like with anything.
Yeah.
And I'm all for conferences doing that too, by the way. And fuck it. If it happens to Oregon, like, that's on Mario Cristobal. Like, if you're a college football program and you take that shit seriously and you want to make sure you give yourself every opportunity to win a national championship, like, if that's a serious thing for you, then get the vaccine. If it's not, then maybe red shirt. I don't know. Figure out what you need to do for yourself.
No, but I do have a feeling that once football season comes around, there will be, I don't know, interesting ways of not testing. Just interesting metrics where they're like, yeah, we just don't have to test because our county is at 75%. You know what I mean?
Right,
well,
right.
Did the Big 12 leak anything of like a weekly test that they're
No. That's no? I think that's why the Kansas State leak was kind of nuked quick, because there was nothing meaningful attached to it, just other than some beat writer saying that he's hearing it's just a loss.
Well, was it? I saw Bradley Beal's out of the Olympics. Was that for protocols as well?
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's not ideal.
If you read between the lines,
team, by the way.
I think Beal tested positive and Jeremy Grant, which, good God, how is he an Olympian? That's besides the point. He's out for now, but they're going to allow him to travel. So I don't think he tested positive. I think he's a contact tracer.
I was going to say, because I thought Japan's like really cracking down on,
I was going to say,
coming to their country. If you're, you know, even in protocols at all, that you ain't going.
Tokyo is not fucking around at all. Like, they've pretty much banned everybody other than the athletes and the people running the events from going into their city from the outside in. By the way, this is not a good deal for the U.S. basketball team. It's funny, like the first loss and then even the loss to Australia, I was just kind of like, yeah, they're exhibitions. I mean, you know, I don't know that they've really figured out, you know, what kind of team they want to play. like what kind of offense they want to play, you know, whatever. It's, you know,
I mean, they're missing these other teams. Booker.
These other teams are clearly trying way harder in these exhibitions because they're playing the U.S. Yeah, exactly. And they don't have Booker. They're
Middleton. Paul, I think, is still.
No, I think it's a Holiday, Middleton, and Booker.
It's Holiday. All right.
Holiday, yeah.
So, I mean, getting Booker is going to make them a better team. But that said, they're also a whole fuck ton of guards, you know? Like, they don't really have anybody who can play defense or play on the interior. And
yeah, Draymond.
They're easy. If he's allowed to just kick people in the nuts every single play, then so be it.
I think he will be per FIBA rules. I think that's actually allowed.
I mean, it's not specifically in the rules that you can't kick somebody in the nuts.
Right,
so
right.
Technically, that means it's okay, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Draymond is built for Olympic basketball. He doesn't have to shoot at all, and he can just go, you know, knock people around.
God, if he takes a three-pointer at any point.
Just any ball. Even if it's a layup.
I do wonder, so once they get to Japan – they'll win their first two games. I don't even know who the hell they're playing, but they're the one seed. They're going to beat Estonia and South Korea. You know, like, you know what I mean? It's just they don't have to worry about the first couple.
Shots fired at Estonia. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Take that. But I do wonder if once they get a little further, if because this isn't like well since 92, I guess there was that 04 team where the names are good, but. Everyone was like 19 and 20, except for like Iverson. But for the most part, every team we've sent since 92 has 10 Hall of Fame, like Hall of Famers on it. So everyone kind of shares the ball, right? I do wonder if when they get there, if all of a sudden KD or even Dame or, you know, some, they're just like,
you're not touching the ball.
You want to know what, Drew Holiday? ISO. ISO. Yeah. Just set a screen.
Yeah. Cut. Go stand in the corner. I got this.
We're not doing this thing where everyone averages 9 points. Like
I really want to see Durant.
I'm gonna average 29, you know.
I really want to see Durant do that. I want him to take 40 shots a game. Like I think he might. I don't care. Dame takes 40, KD takes 40. That's it. I don't need anything else. I mean, Adebayo is going to get like an alley-oop or a putback dunk or something like that every now and then. And that's fine. You can do that. Nobody else needs to be.
Right. But I don't want we don't need Bam. We don't need a single play ran through Bam Adebayo.
No, sir. And I guess Booker, when Booker gets there, he can take some shots.
Sure.
Too.
Sure.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, I'm just saying, I do. I just think it'll be interesting if this is like such a weird team where there's just three guys that score and everyone else is just kind of tertiary.
Okay. With that.
I did look before the Australia game, the U.S. was minus 1,000 to win the gold. Yeah. After that, they're now currently sitting at minus 550. So their odds have cut in half.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Yeah.
Old Patty.
That beat down of Louis Scola didn't do anything.
No, it did not.
Old Patty Mills taking it to Team USA.
Scola's hot now, though, in case you haven't noticed.
See, like in his early 40s now, too. Just
Man, that dude, he's in better shape now than he ever was in the NBA. It's nuts.
Oh, you know, he's just been living life on the Spanish beaches and just.
I think the kids call him a zaddy. I think that's what he's called now, is a zaddy.
Zaddy?
Zaddy. Zaddy. Look it up. Zaddy.
Look it up.
Urban Dictionary.
I mean, I could look it up. Why don't you just tell me what it is right now?
I don't know. I just know he's a zaddy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good for him. Good for him. Retire.
Reggie Bush. Retire, Bush is a zaddy.
Become a zaddy. Good for him.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch any of the All-Star stuff?
Yeah.
Like I watched the Derby. The Derby was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean,
except for Shohei's batting practice pitcher. That guy was throwing like cutters and splitters.
What are you doing, dude?
Dude, throw it down the middle.
He kept telling him where to put the ball, and he kept not putting it there. It's like, shit.
Guy's throwing cutters at him.
If that's anybody other than Shohei, who's like the nicest guy on earth, that dude's getting like cussed out while he's in the middle of.
Did you guys see the graphic like the next day of where every single Pete Alonso pitch?
That old guy.
And it was every single one.
Same
like
spot.
Literally right down the middle.
Oh, that was beautiful.
My first thought was like, who is this 90-year-old guy out here to start pumping some BP to him? And he, you know, he didn't throw it very hard, but man, he put it in that spot.
Put it right
about
there.
About 85% of the time.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Any age, any sex, whatever. If you can put the ball in that one spot every single time. But by the way, did you see that Alonso, he like almost doubled his salary by winning the Home Run Derby?
I don't remember it being $1 million, the winner.
I know. Well, I guess he did this last time. So I guess the last time they did it wasn't 19 and he won it then. So he makes $600K a year. He gets $1 million for winning the Derby. He's done that shit twice now. That's fucking fantastic. I mean, he donates a bunch of it to charity, but it's like, I fucking wouldn't. If I'm rocking bombs.
Breaks, Alex. He lives in New York City. Tax breaks, buddy.
I guess so. I guess you gotta even it out somehow, right?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, that's, have you seen the whole, like, that whole article that came out on Steve Ballmer this week about his tax breaks and all that?
No, I did not.
So basically, he bought the Clippers for $2 billion, right?
Yep.
And in like 2019, he recorded a loss of like $700 million. It's all fake.
Oh, right. That rings
But basically, if he sells the team, maybe it's in like 6 years, after like 10 years of owning it, he gets the $2 billion back, but he just has to pay a little bit of taxes, but he would sell at that point for like $4 billion. So it's just a whole, you know, rich people, man. They just, that's all.
Shoveling around money, basically.
Because in that same article, there was a kid, he's like 24, and he's an heir of a slice of the Golden State Warriors. And so in the last like year or so, I don't know, I hate to sound morbid, but the right person in his family died. And so he now owns like 7% of the Warriors. And he's just finding, and he's like 24, and he's just finding out like, oh shit, I got to donate like all this money now. So I don't actually ever owe anything.
Yep.
Like,
right. So I don't actually have to pay taxes ever.
Or work.
Well, yeah, of course. That's the goal.
And what's great is this kid's like, the quotes, he's like, holy shit. Boy, I'm like really, I just was born.
I haven't done anything with my life. I'm suddenly just really rich.
Good for that kid. Like, good for that guy. Like, at least he's self-aware about it.
He's going to really start enjoying life in about a year or two. Once he gets in the swing of things, he's really going to start enjoying things, I think. Good for him.
The owner's box at the Warriors? Shit.
Yeah. Shit.
Maybe he even lives there. Who knows?
Yeah, I have no idea. For all I know, the kid lives in like Bethesda, Maryland.
Yeah.
Go out and get Dame for the Warriors. Just live it up. Because that's what's going to happen, right? The Warriors are going to get Dame. That's what I've been hearing.
No way. That's not a chance.
Unless O'Shea is full tank mode, then yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if he is in that fuck Portland mode, that'd be a pretty good way to do it. You think Jody Allen, I know Jody Allen doesn't care, but do you think she would let that happen? O'Shea goes to trade Dame. Do you think she would then step in at that point? Be like, no. This is my franchise still. Like, I know you.
Well, I think at a certain point, somebody the Vulcan talks to group her. Would be like, listen, we have one player anyone cares about.
Yeah.
Don't trade that player.
This is the only reason the franchise matters at all. Is this one guy? Yeah.
I think who was it? Chris Broussard was on Fox or something yesterday. He was kicking around that notion that the Blazers will trade Dame for Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle.
For who? Dame?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Before it was you trade CJ for Ben Simmons, and all of a sudden Matisse Thybulle's the equivalent to the
He locked down KD the other night in Vegas, you know?
He'd be, hey, you go Nurk and CJ for him and Simmons. I'm all for it.
I'd go Nurk and CJ for just Simmons, to be honest.
Yeah.
For a bag of salt crackers.
Though I was listening to a podcast the other day and Simmons came up, and I just want to know if you guys agree with this. This is a guy. Do you guys know who Amin El-Hassan is?
Yeah, the name rings a bell. I think so.
He used to work for the Suns. He was on ESPN for a while. He was on the jump.
Yes.
He was saying, if Ben Simmons doesn't get any better on offense, not even a millimeter of improvement, but stays the same on defense for the next 5 years, he's a Hall of Famer. Lock.
Fuck you.
Well, I'm just saying, because he would be like a five-time Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, how many did Ben Wallace win? Two or three?
Sounds about right. He got in.
Yeah, I mean, did he? I don't think he averaged over 10 points in his career.
Yeah.
No way. I mean,
your point is well made in that the Basketball Hall of Fame is not the NBA Hall of Fame, and it has very low standards in terms of who can get in. So I guess there is always a chance that he could get in just simply based on defensive numbers, because a lot of guys have got in simply based on defensive numbers. So
if you excel at one thing for like a decade, it doesn't matter what that one thing is to the game, you got a good shot at it. If you just block shots, you know, that's all it takes.
Ben Wallace,
yeah,
four-time defensive player of the year. Oh, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
About
the hell happened in 04, bum.
Right. Probably had 6 or 7 rebounding titles in there too.
Actually, just two.
Really?
02, 03.
Real hard time thinking of him as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree.
I listened last week to, and by the way, I recommend it to everybody, Rex Chapman's podcast. It is very good. It's, I think it's called Charges or something like that. But he talks to athletes who have gone through like legal problems and stuff like that in their lives and had, you know, just a lot of bullshit happen to them. He talked to this last two episodes were like a double, and it was Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. And it is really good. Matt Barnes talks about the Derek Fisher situation. They talk about, like, I guess both of them got together after they retired and kind of helped the NBA into not testing for marijuana anymore. It's just really good. I highly recommend it. I don't know what made me think of that, but highly recommend that show. It's very good.
Because you're high. Because you're high. You're on.
Clearly. That's all I do all the time.
Was Steven Jackson even considered a troubled player? I mean, outside the Malice in the Palace, it kind of seemed like.
There's like a whole story of him outside a strip club shooting up into the air and getting arrested.
Yeah, he talked about that. The guy hit him with his car and he tried to kill him basically. And Steven Jackson like had the gun and was just like, dude, like get the fuck away from me. Like, and so, So I guess his teammate was being chased out of the club by like 15 angry white guys. And so he kind of pulled out his gun and was like, you're going to stop chasing him now. And then homeboy got in his car and tried to run him down. And that's when the actual firing started happening. Didn't actually hit anybody though. Lots of marijuana issues, I believe. But yeah. Matt Barnes is like a really smart guy. I don't know if you've actually heard him talk, but he is like a very intelligent, like business-minded person.
Isn't he from an affluent family and went to UCLA?
No. Actually, no. It's funny you say that. My cousins were neighbors with Matt Barnes for about 4 years when he was very not affluent.
Yeah, he had a pretty shitty childhood.
Pretty rough life. Yeah. All they would tell me is that he was from like middle school on. Everyone in Sacramento knew he was like destined. So he had like that cone of
protection around him, like
protection, like don't fuck with him.
Yeah,
but yeah, they have some pretty fun stories about the Barnes family. Like his parents were not to be trifled with.
Yeah, he kind of gave that sense too. I guess he was going to be a football player before he made like the business decision to play basketball instead of football, basically. Because he's like a
smart one.
He's like 6'5" or whatever as a wide receiver. And he's like, yeah, should probably just play basketball. Or 6'8". I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? Anyway, that the reason I brought it up is because it was interesting. So I highly recommend it. I guess we should talk about racism, right? Because what a bummer
that is.
We just in general, let's talk about how because we kind of at the end of the end of the podcast
theory here, Bob.
Jeez, really took a shit on this podcast. Hey, hey, how about racism?
Racism for it or against it? Go.
I gotta say I'm against it. I know that's the bold stand, but
controversial.
I think we should erase racism. You know what I mean?
Racism.
Ooh, well, misplaced hate makes us something for races. I don't know. It's a Tupac line.
But working for ESPN, we might have a different angle on it.
Yeah, so that's why I brought it up. The end of the podcast last week, we said we would talk about Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor, and if we would like to do that, we can do that. Also, some other racism from this week was Stephen A. talking about Shohei. That was some other racism. If we'd like to talk about that, we can also talk about
Nigerian basketball team, I think, was thrown in there with them.
Yeah. I saw Joe Maddon was talking to Dan Patrick this week, and he was asked about Stephen A's comments. So basically, Stephen A was just saying, like, why don't you know English? Why are you still using a translator? And it's like, shut the fuck up, first of all.
Well,
like
the thing about Stephen A's whole rant is, there's a pretty like easy way to say like, hey, it's, you know, if you have a translator, it's a little harder for people to connect with you. Like, okay. But he was like, he didn't say that like MLB has a problem marketing its players. He's literally said Shohei Ohtani is a problem.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know English. No.
And so
how did you get to there, Stephen? Like,
that's the thing. Yeah. And like, what Maddon was talking about is because Maddon's with Shohei every day, obviously. And so Shohei, he basically said, he's like, look, he is learning it. Like, English is a difficult language. And if you're going to sit at a press conference and be asked questions, you don't want to fumble through English. You don't want to sound like an idiot. You want to actually, if you're going to speak English, you want to be able to do it to where people are going to understand you and to where people are going to, like, you know, be able to actually connect with you. And he's not to that point yet. Like, he's working on it every day. He's trying to get to the language and he will get there. But right now, he's not there yet, and he's not confident enough to speak in front of large groups of people in a language that is not his own, that he doesn't fully know yet. And we've been there. Like, we've all taken other languages in school. Like, I took Spanish. I took too much Spanish and I still don't know it. Like, if somebody asked me, like, I took years of Spanish. I took years of Spanish. And like,
Kleenex?
Yeah.
De que colores?
Azul?
Azul?
Yeah. But if somebody were to ask me a question and expect me to answer it in a sentence, no fucking way. Like, I would need to be speaking the language around other people speaking the language for years before I would be comfortable with that.
Well, and there was one quote he had where he was like, if you're familiar with the Squidbillies, are you guys familiar with Squidbillies?
Yeah.
Not as much as you are, I know that.
Yeah, not as much as you. Go on, get some trim.
But there's like at the end, he says something like, "And we can't understand what the hell he's saying in this country." And if you just read it in like the most stereotypical, that's why I said Squidbillies, right, like Southern voice, it just reads like a cartoon. Like, how is he getting on there and saying we can't understand what the hell he's saying? Like, and then add in this country, like.
Did you not see the clip? Someone overlaid it, Stephen A, and it's that clip from the Chappelle show where he's the black white supremacist and talking.
Yes.
It's like a 12-second section where he's talking about Asian people. I mean,
yes, yeah.
It's kind of exactly how I read it or how I heard it in my head too when I first heard Stephen A say it.
It's kind of amazing that this isn't a bigger deal, especially on the heels of the Rachel Nichols situation, right? It's literally one right after the other from basically the same department. Like, they're all from the NBA department. Like, they're all in they're in the same group.
Stephen A's in every department.
Fair. And plus, Stephen A's, you know, he's a Skip Bayless. He's there to be edgy and, you know, have his, like, hot
takes.
So
that makes it okay?
No, but he's more likely to do it than what Rachel Nichols.
More likely to be racist?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
What are we saying?
It's not really his.
Are by far the most likely to be racist.
Yeah. It's not exactly Stephen A's first foray into.
No.
Yeah.
But you got to admit that. So Rachel Nichols just has to be sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, hang on.
Rachel Nichols is loving it. All the heat's coming off her.
And what's funny, in a just perverse way, Rachel Nichols is probably going to come out of this and win.
Yeah.
Because Maria Taylor's probably going somewhere else. If you read the reports, she's probably going to NBC. And so guess what? Rachel Nichols can just slide right back into that NBA coverage.
By the way, I really had a problem with that. Like, with taking her. So, like, I understand, like, if they wanted to hire Maria Taylor for the job in the first place or whatever. But, like, I had a problem with, like, punishing Rachel Nichols for that. Because she was being recorded without her knowledge. And it's a situation where she was working from home. It's really easy to not record that. Like, it's a remote situation. So it's literally a button. And if you're home and you're not in a record mode, in a record session, and you're just having a conversation with somebody, it's a fucking button. And whoever had that button pressed and was recording it and then had it upload into the server or whatever, where everybody can access it, like, that person should be, like, fucked. Like, that person betrayed her. That person, I'm sure, broke protocol. Like, that has to be against ESPN protocol.
That person was punished.
Okay. She good. I didn't
last
hear that
summer, part. But that's the thing, is she was punished, and they dropped her responsibilities down so low that she eventually left ESPN in the fall.
Right.
But she was punished during the bubble stuff
when it happened,
for sending that to Maria Taylor, because that's right.
But
that is dirty pool. But no one connected those dots until the Rachel Nichols story came out. It was just, editor suspended, blah, 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 blah.
But that's why she was suspended. So do you guys think Rachel Nichols got punished more for criticizing ESPN's policy or for saying what she said about Maria Taylor?
Because
I don't think what she said about Maria Taylor was necessarily bad. I think
it was
most of what she said was ESPN has a problem with hiring African-American people, and they have a problem with putting them in positions that Maria Taylor was eventually put in. And she's like, this is my job. Like, this has been my job. And if they're going to try to fix their problem, their racist policies, by giving somebody my job, fuck that. She's like, Maria Taylor's great. Like, she's fantastic. I have no problem with Maria Taylor, but they're giving her my job. And because their policies are bullshit.
If she would have stopped there, if she would have been recorded and just said, I'm better than Maria, this is my job. Don't give it to someone else. It's in my contract. This is my job. Yeah. I think I'm better than her. you could be like, eh, she's got an ego, whatever. It, what really got her in trouble, I think, was when, who was it, Adam Mendelsohn, LeBron's advisor guy on the other line, mm-hmm. was like, oh, and I'm just mentally fatigued from Me Too, Black Lives Matter, and she laughs. I think that's what got her in trouble. And it's a bad look, but if we're being honest, you go back to the heart of the pandemic, the summer on fire, election season. There was a lot of people, every sex, race, creed, gender, who were like, man, this year is tiring.
Yeah.
Like, I am just exhausted.
With everything. Yeah.
But when you're in that position, you can't. Her laugh did sound dismissive. Because if he had said, man, it's just been so tiring this whole year, it's draining, pandemic, racial tension. And she was like, oh, I totally agree. You know, oh, man, it has been rough, but we got to keep fighting the fight. I don't think she'd be in trouble. It was the, ah, yeah, me too.
Combination of
everything.
It was just,
the laugh yeah. was a little rough. But when you actually, like, in the aftermath, I mean, I listened to a couple of ESPN personalities. No one actually thinks Rachel Nichols is racist.
Nobody at all. Yeah. I saw,
I mean,
I
maybe
saw,
Maria
I saw
Taylor,
Lebatard had Jemele Hill on, and they talked about that a bunch too. And yeah, to a person, like, everybody respects Rachel Nichols as a person who covers the NBA. They know she's not a racist person. And they believe her when she says it's about ESPN's like poor hiring practices in the past and not hiring Black people when they should and overlooking Black people for positions that they're overly qualified for and passing on them. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. It's
but you know how this works. Yeah. Like, by the time Jemele Hill got out there, she's a very prominent voice on many, many matters, and she knows ESPN as well as, you know, really anyone.
Yeah.
By the time, you know, she was on the record saying, I don't think she's racist, it was a bad look, but the tube was out of the toothpaste, or the toothpaste was out of the tube. I mean, it was too late at that point.
Not that I don't know how much a Jemele Hill vote of confidence would,
I'm just saying, I don't mean from like anyways, ESPN, but just on social media, not even of that prominence was going to be able to put that one away. I mean, it was what it was at that point. Yeah. I mean, like, even last night when she asked a question from Giannis in the post game and she was way in the back and he couldn't see her and he was looking and hey, Rachel or whatever. I mean, the memes were flying instantly, so she's got a rough go ahead of her. That's for sure.
The good thing about the news cycle is it won't be too long until it's forgotten.
That's what I was going to say. True. Like, this season ends, next season comes around, or even off season when her show starts again, like when they bring back The Jump, she's going to be hosting it. And it's going to go right back to normal.
I will say
that's how we work.
When they got all serious and she made her apology, and the first person to talk after it was Kendrick Perkins, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah,
ESPN,
what are we
doing?
Yeah, yeah.
ESPN.
Talk about bad hiring practices. Anyone
Kendrick Perkins. Holy hell.
Man. That was weird, by the way. She gives her apology, and then she's like, she's got one former NBA player on one side. Was it Richard Jefferson was the other person there, too? And then they're like, I don't want to talk about this.
So I was playing a doubleheader this last Sunday, right? And it was like in the last, we're getting 10 ran. It was a bad game for us.
Wait. There's two outs. Okay, hang on. Doubleheader in what?
Baseball.
Okay. What league are you playing in? Is this like beer league softball?
I've been in a baseball. Oh, no. I've been in a wood bat baseball league since I was like 23.
This is the
ski serious.
This is the first I've heard this, by the way, like ever. Yeah. Where is who? What league?
It's the Eugene Men's Senior Baseball League. It's like 25 and older. Yeah.
Through
play doubleheaders on Sundays.
It's just,
through who?
Yeah, it's just the league.
It's a league in the city, yeah.
Is it through the city or is it through like a private company?
I think it's a private company, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But they have like leagues in Portland and shit.
All right, I think I have another question. Yeah. Tell me your story, yes.
Yeah, so we got just two outs in the fifth, you know, and we're getting 10 ran at this point. So the game's pretty much over. And the guy pitching, some, you know, mid-20s kid, and he had two strikes on the guy. You know, the game's over.
I love how we're calling 25-year-olds kids now.
Well, shit.
Yeah, we're old.
Some, like,
shit, I'm, you know, 37. I got a couple guys on my team like 40. So, yeah, we're
man a damn kid. Near 40, tell you what.
But, yeah, so I'm sitting, standing on the rail of the dugout, kind of, you know, just looking at the batter mostly. And he's throwing a pitch, and all of a sudden I just hear, you know, the crack of a bat loud snap of this dude's arm.
Oh, and he, God.
And I see the ball go flying in like towards the dugout almost. And then he just crumbles. And I was just like, I was like, I've only Dave Dravecki and Tony Saunders, the only big leaguers I know that, you know, and Dravecki had like some crazy rare cancer that like, I mean, he got like, his bones were brittle or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never a good sign to be mid 20s and snap your arm throwing like, you know, upper 70s, you know.
How does
low
that happen? 80s. Like the bone broke?
Yeah. People went out there, you know, one of the players on my team, his wife was there as a nurse. You know, he thought it was like a, you know, dislocated his shoulder or his elbow or something.
Yeah.
I think she got out there. She's like, I'm not able to put it. They're, you know, this ain't dislocated. You got to get yourself to the hospital. Yeah, this dude just snapped his arm in half.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah. And it's a bad, you know, I remember like reading, hearing people that were at those MLB games when those pitchers did that. And it's like, that sound echoes throughout the park. I was like, it's a fucking loud sound.
Like that like lives with you forever, that sound.
I mean, I can still hear like guy that I played with in high school. He slid into third and his spike stuck.
Cut
he slid into third and went
turd.
Over.
Okay, sorry.
And he broke both bones in his legs. And the pop was, God, it was just the femur, I think it was. Whatever the big one. Ugh, just bones, insane.
Bones aren't supposed to do that.
No.
Like,
hey, baseball's dangerous. I mean,
dangerous sport.
You know, on Tuesday, you know, watching the All-Star game and Meatball wants to go over and take some grounders, hit off the tee. So we go over to the park and he's like, oh, you want to jump the fence in the baseball field? And I was like, nah, we're good. So the third ball I hit to them off the tee, 40 feet away, hits a sprinkler head. Busts his nose. I mean, he is just, I saw it. And he's chasing it because he was trying to turn two like Fernando Tatis, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he was coming off on the side, fake throwing. The third time he did it, hit a sprinkler head, and the ball hit his nose and ricocheted down. And I think the blood hit the grass before the ball did. I mean, he was a faucet. So
he made the play?
I saw the picture.
Yeah, he made the play.
Got to finish the play, no doubt. I saw the pictures and I saw that it was baseball related, and I assumed that was not dad injuring his nose. Nice
you
work.
Know, that was me. And nice the funniest part was I was hitting with a wood bat because I was like, I'm not going to scald the shit with a metal bat.
To protect him,
and
yeah.
The pitch, or not the pitch, but the swing before, he was like, hit the metal bat, hit a bomb. And I was like, I'm not going to hit a metal bat. It's dangerous. And next swing.
Next one.
Breaks his nose. Go to the ER. It was a fun night.
That's perfect.
But times have changed. They don't, like, I broke my nose playing JV football, and they're out there like,
yeah,
going like
back.
This and shit. And now they don't do it. They're like, nope, we just let it.
But it heal naturally.
Good thing. And if it needs to be reset, you go see a surgeon.
What?
Yes.
I wonder if they got sued or something. Like, I imagine there's part of it where, like, if you're moving the entire thing back into place, like, there can be some sort of like nasal cavity damage or something like that.
Probably.
So it might be just liability situations where we're not actually trained to do this sort of thing. That's a surgeon's deal. Crazy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't want to be in there if they have to reset it. That just little pop is going to make me puke. And they were just like, nah, we don't do that anymore. And, and they're checking all like the neurological signs. And they were like, yeah, if you have a concussion, that whole thing about not going to sleep, it's an old wives' tale. Make him go to sleep. my brain is exploding.
Yes. So
all of these medical truths have been shown to be lies.
I was going to say, like, so much has changed with how we look at even nosebleeds. Like, they used to tell you to, like, have your nose back and let it, like,
and see, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't think you do that anymore. So we're walking back from the park, and I call the wife, and I'm like, can you meet us like in the driveway? Because his nose is split open and blah, blah, blah. And
get the bug out bag. We're leaving.
And he's, I make him walk like with his face like so over his toes. Cause I was like, I don't want you to like choke on your blood. And I also don't want you to stain your clothes.
Yeah. Also, don't get it on your clothes or your shoes. Like if you get them on your shoes, I'm playing you new ones.
Yeah.
Listen, you got to instantly go out and buy an outfielder's glove for him. Cause that's what I think I was like 9 taking grounders and one just like whizzed by my head. I'm just like, well, I'm not touching this anymore. I'm standing on the grass.
Yeah.
I'll be out here.
I like the idea that they don't do anything to the nose. So he's just going to have a crooked nose now. Like, unless you take him to a surgeon.
Yeah.
Like, unless, what?
Yeah.
What?
He's got it. Yeah. And like a week, he has an appointment with a facio-maxiolio surgeon. Yeah.
He's going to get a nose job. That's what's happening here.
Now they'll tell him. They'll be like, yeah, we're not doing anything. But yeah, I was like, wow. I thought they just give him some smelling salts, rub some Bengay on there, some biofreeze, and just.
Well, I don't get it. So like if you break any other bone and you go to the hospital, they set the bone. Like that's part of it.
I think the difference is that your nose is cartilage.
It's not actual bone.
It's not actual bone.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know.
At least going in the future, your kid can't say that you don't fucking rake out there. Just hit nukes at him now.
Oh, just yeah.
Want me to use the metal bat? Huh? Want me to use the metal one? Huh? Is that what you want?
Well, man, I'm in such a. Before we get back to the important stuff, this will be the last part. I'm in like this vicious cycle now because one of the wife's clients, her kid just graduated from UC Irvine, and he was like a walk-on baseball player.
Nice.
So he was like, oh, yeah, I'll just give you all this baseball stuff. So now I have like a million tees and woodies and these. All these contraptions to hit the ball and pitching machines, and I'm like, oh fuck! Now I gotta.
You're in it.
Committed now. When they want to go play, damn, it's a whole thing.
Backyard's about to be a training facility. Did you get a? Did
pretty
you get
much,
a
yeah.
Did you get a net so you can take BP in the backyard.
Oh yeah,
that's what's up. That's what's up. Whole backyard is just netted over. Oh
no, there's like this little pitching machine they gave us. It's funny. Really? It only fits like these two little balls. These like they're not even wiffles. They're kind of like composite balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And the smaller one, the bigger one, it comes out pretty true. You know, kind of a loop, and the smaller one comes out, and it's just going everywhere. So if you just have to kind of swing, but if you hit that one, woo, it goes flying, baby.
It's time,
time to dig up your like rhododendrons you just planted. You gotta put in a cage now.
Yeah.
You've been committed. Like you're in it now. Like you're.
I didn't
you're
quite taking, ex- when I heard when I heard he was giving him all the gear. I was like, whatever. It'll be like a helmet, a glove, and like 20 balls. Not a whole like Yeah, it's a whole thing.
This is great. You're going to be super fluent in ball machines. You're going to be that guy. Yes. Who's just like, yeah. Zing, 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 zing,
yeah.
Zing. Crack, crack. That reminds me, like,
watching the younger kid yesterday. He's out there. He's putting a one ball in and running to a side to try and hit. I was like, buddy, it doesn't quite work.
That's awesome.
An old ESPN commercial like Ichiro would do.
Yes,
do that and go then grab a glove and grab the fly ball.
Wasn't quite as fluid as that, but yes, same idea.
Those, by the way, credit where it's due. Those were not ESPN commercials. Those were like Root Sports commercials. They killed it with Mariners commercials.
That's true. Yeah,
very, very good. That brings me that reminded me of the Derby, because when Ohtani was in his round, like he didn't hit a home run for like the first minute and a half. And then all of a sudden he just started raking, and like the time was running out at the end of his round. And it was just like rapid fire. I've never really seen anything like it, where he's just like ting, 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 and just like hitting him out and just thoroughly exhausted by the end of it. And then he ended up tying Soto because of that. And then had no energy for like the hit off that they ended up having. But I was like, holy shit, this 10 seconds where he took like 7 swings is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Like, how does he do that? He was actually hitting home runs with them too.
Yeah, the new rule where you don't have to wait for the ball to land, it doesn't make watching on TV very good. Because before, you know,
see where they
get the ball, and then they could go like multiple cameras panning it in. Now it's like a split screen and like barely track the ball.
Yeah.
He hit that to Sarasota.
Yeah, they're showing the next pitch.
Yeah, the split screen was a little weird. Yeah. But
the one Vlad Jr. hit in the game was such a bomb. Like that was, I think Alonso hit one like equally as far, but holy
shit.
They're
like 4 or 5 over 500 in the dirt.
Man.
Yeah. The best part about the Vladdy home run was Tatis being mic'd up.
Yes. Like, yes.
That was so good.
There's not much better in sports than baseball players mic'd up on the field. Like I still remember when they first did that during spring training. And I forget who it was in the outfield, but like the ball got hit over his head. Or was it Betts? It might have been. The ball got hit over his head, and he's like, oh, I'm not getting that one. And then chases it down. Like, oh, this is great.
I did love when Freeman was mic'd.
Exactly.
And he was talking to like Aaron Judge. He's like, Mike.
He was talking to Buck before that about how he doesn't want him to walk so he doesn't have to stand next to him because he's so tall. He's like, I'm 6'5". I don't have to look up to people very often.
And I want to know what Aaron Judge said, because Buck was like, and we will not be talking to Aaron Judge anymore.
No. He said, Buck was like, you might want to let him know that you're mic'd. And he's like, oh, yeah, they wanted me to tell you that we got the 2-way mic on. And he's like, oh, okay, then I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was Tatis, I feel like, forgot he was mic'd a few times. Like, I feel like some of the Spanish he was speaking was not TV friendly if you speak Spanish. Like, I'm not.
Probably not.
As we've established, I don't, I took a lot of Spanish, but I don't speak any Spanish. But, yeah.
That, I like that they I were mean, talking, that's kind of what makes.
They were talking see, to him while he was hitting, too, which was cool.
See, that's kind of what makes the Stephen A. comment so just absurd is, I mean, what, at least half of MLB or non-Americans.
Well, and his whole thing where he was like, it can't be Ohtani. It's got to be Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. One guy who's bad and one guy who's as
boring
as a water bottle.
And boring.
Mike Trout is great. I think I've seen him in like a Subway commercial. Maybe. He
probably has half a line in there, just like, eat Subway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Subway, by the way.
Yeah, that's it.
Nike? Is he a Nike athlete?
Trout?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he okay. Is. So So he's been on Nike.
They don't talk, stuff, they don't talk in those commercials. Though.
But here is a thing about Mike Trout and not being commercialized. So the oldest kid this year went to Dick's or whatever and got some cleats for baseball.
Sure.
And he got the Mike Trouts. He had no idea. And I'm like, oh, sick. You got the Trouts.
He's like, he was oh, like, man.
Fish? I got fish shoes?
And he was like, oh, it's the Ohtani guy. It's his teammate. Oh, Jesus, man. Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that is true. But let me tell you, for like 6 years, we've said he's the best player in the world.
You should put a tweet together and send that to his agent. Be like, by the way, this is what you're dealing with. Like, try and fix that. Like, that's
if it had been recorded, it would have just been like the perfect encapsulation of how MLB is bad at marketing players and Mike Trout is boring.
See, I disagree because, I mean, Ichiro was marketed fine. And that's why I don't get Stephen A, because, I mean, Ichiro used a translator through most of his, and he spoke like great English. All the players all said he's hilarious and like speaks great English, but he still used an interpreter for any interview. So I would have been surprised if someone said Ohtani actually does speak English. But like you were saying, Braga, that for important like interview things, have the interpreter do it so you could get your exactly what you want to say across.
That's, yeah, I mean, Ohtani's rookie of the year speech, his rookie of the year speech was in English.
Yeah, so
like he can speak English.
They are hired to make sure that what you're saying, because there's a big disconnect in Japanese and English between certain words and certain phrases. They are more than anything else, they are translating phrases, because you say things in English, they could completely offend somebody in Japanese and vice versa. And so that's why you hire the translator, is to make sure he doesn't say anything like that and piss people off. That's it. That's it. And by the way,
you got to assume it.
Everybody in the organization loves the translators too. Like I've watched a bunch of things on Shohei, and his translator is almost as popular as he is with the team. Like he's around all the time. Like he's just another part of the team, man. It's such a dumb fucking take. It's such a dumb, lazy take. And Stephen A has had a bunch of those in his career, but God.
Well, just like you're learning English and you're in a clubhouse environment. Half the things people are saying are F-bombs and things. The other half are just weird baseball lingo that's, it's English, but it's not really, spoken in sentences outside of baseball.
Baseball's its own language, man. So you're trying to deal with two different three different languages total. Which, by the way, like, good on the translator to be able to do all of that.
It's one of the best jobs you could ever have.
Yeah.
Essentially a baseball player that just doesn't play.
I have a buddy. That's a good gig if you can get it. I got a buddy who moved to Taiwan to teach English, and he's just been there the last like 10 plus years now, just teaching English to elementary school kids. Great gig. Taiwan cost of living is pretty low. They have universal health care. Like, it's not bad. Not bad.
Can we please keep politics out of podcasting, Alex? Can we please?
Sorry, if we're talking politics, I forgot the road we're leaning towards.
I mean, we healthcare is
it's a privilege.
It's a privilege in this country. We don't think everyone really needs it.
No. No, it's a privilege.
I mean, if we gave everyone equal access to it, it would probably cut out a bunch of comorbidities and all that. But
sounds
how am I gonna make our money that way?
Sounds an awful lot like socialism to me there, bud.
Oh boy, look at Cuba. Am I right?
Am I right?
Oh, hey, you're part of Big Medicine King. Son of a bitch.
We both are, by the way.
I do laugh. Like, I mean, I've this runs through my head all the time when I'm just driving around work and I just see 75 people from Rexius every day working on the property, and I'm like, this is why your copay is so much.
Yeah.
Because we have nice grass.
You got to make sure the bark of mulch is on point.
Why are we mowing three times a week? What are we doing here? The hell is going on? We don't work on a golf course.
I mean, shit, maybe we should treat it like a golf course. That's some lush grass out there.
It is pretty lush.
Let's get the hole maker.
Yeah.
Make a green out there.
It is funny. Across the street, there is a collection agency.
That's on purpose.
So gross. And there's like six dudes that I always see out there chipping and putting their lawn. And I'm just like, oh, God, that is just so America.
Surprise there's not like a.
Gotta love it.
A money lending place or a check cashing place or whatever. We'll give you cash now for your check or gold.
throw a liquor store and like a cheap cigarette store right next to it too, just to run them back through the mill quicker.
Oh, what a scam. America, you are the worst. you have rigged everything, America. Miss Liberty. Whatever your name is. What Lady is her Liberty. Name? Lady Liberty. Liberty.
Yeah, Lady Liberty. Ms. Liberty.
I like Ms. Liberty.
I'm sorry. My Liberty is a Mrs. and she's married to Jesus. That's my Liberty.
Sabrina.
Sabrina. The fourth best player in the Liberty.
Oh, spicy.
She's not great this year. Anyway, we've talked about that already. Okay, what else?
By the way,
yeah.
Let's do our list.
I was going to say, like, what else can we talk about before our list? Let's get to it.
Yeah, okay, let's do our list.
Whose idea was it?
Sabrina's.
Sabrina's idea. All right, Sabrina, tell us what our list is.
So yesterday in Milwaukee, which if you're not familiar is Algonquin for the good land.
Yes.
The Bucks tied the Suns 2-2 in the NBA Finals.
Basketball.
Sports. So give me your top three Bucks.
All right. I guess I'll go first.
Top three Bucks. So not people who play for the Milwaukee Bucks. We're talking about Bucks, period.
Oh, man. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right. My number three Buck is Uncle Buck.
Oh!
There you go. That's your number three?
That's my number three.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. I would have seen...
Deep list of Buck here.
Movie guy, I would have seen you have an Uncle Buck like... At least two, but okay. My number three, DeForest Buckner. He was best player on my team's defense until they decided to keep Eric Armstead instead.
Oh, he's the best. Now he's the best player on defense on my team.
So, DeForest thanks. Buckner. Really good decision there by John Lynch. You could have kept one of them. You decided to keep Eric Armstead. That's doing great. Can almost hear that, whatever that was.
My number three is also Uncle Buck.
Nice.
Perfect. All right. My number two is Buck from Kill Bill, because he drives a pussy wagon and tries to fuck comatose women. Yeah. I guess that's what he does.
Everybody has a kink, man.
Jeez, in the Me Too movement? Damn, risky.
I know. I mean, she can move her toes. That counts, right?
His name's Buck, and he's here to fuck. That's all I know.
Yeah. My number two, I'm going to go, I'll tell you what, I'll go Uncle Buck, my number two. I had him one, I swapped it. Uncle Buck's my two. No brainer. That's like the no brainer to be part of all of our lists. Totally makes sense.
I mean, I kind of had a look. I kind of had a look to like remind myself other Bucks,
mm-hmm.
but that one like instant.
Other than Buck Williams, Buck Williams was easy. That's like the easiest one to remember. Other than that,
my number two Buck
numero dos
is Masson's favorite, Buck O'Neill.
I don't know who that is.
I think he calls Orioles games.
Yeah, Masson.
Masson. Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. Get on it.
Oh, yeah. I guess
he used to be on ESPN.
He was.
He used to be Baseball Tonight guy, and he had gray hair and was just orange.
So that's why he's
just
with the
very
Orioles.
Orange.
Makes sense.
Yes.
I can relate to that. Pretty orange most times. It's weird because I'm like super duper. It's weird because I'm super duper pale. If I get any sun at all, it's like pink. Anyway, what's your one?
All right, my number one Buck is Buck the dog from Married with Children. It was voiced by Cheech Marin, and yeah, got into some shenanigans.
God. Gotta love some good shenanigans. Are you a bigger fan of shenanigans or hijinks?
No, shenanigans.
Definitely.
What about a hullabaloo?
Shenanigans still for me.
Hullabaloo is like even for more older people than us. We're a shenanigan generation.
I like hijinks.
See, I think hijinks is a little older too. That's like what your grandma would say. Oh, the whippersnappers getting into some hijinks.
I guess I just pictured being in like a Scooby-Doo episode and saying hijinks, and I really like it. Come on, Velma.
Yeah, wasn't that show from like the 60s?
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our grandparents watched
Zoinks!
Scooby-Doo.
Zoinks!
Zoinks! Good one, Shaggy!
Oh, Scoob!
Like, yeah, Scoob!
Make the guy that smokes weed just like fuck everything up, and their straight-laced Republican guy has come save the day.
Yeah. Is that Fred?
Yeah.
I will stop the ghost and get a tax code for the rich. I'm Fred.
Did you listen to Tucker this last night?
Let's get on the boat and listen to Tucker Carlson and Clay Travis.
Tucker told me I'm not supposed to trust you.
Too tan for me.
What was the thing he wore around his neck? I forget what that thing's called.
It's like an
ascot.
Ascot. Yeah, that's right. It's amazing.
Though in the Scooby-Doo movie, whew, I shouldn't say this, but those women were pretty hot.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was Fred, right?
He was.
Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, yeah.
And then what's her face? His wife. Was what's her face, right? I can't remember her name. Chick who played Buffy, right?
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah, she was in that movie too. She's like married to Freddie Prinze Jr. Or she was. And then what's her face? Like Linda Cardellini was Velma.
Yes. Okay. Baby.
Hell yeah. From Grandma's Boy? Yo, she's legendary. All right, my number one is Joe Buck. I like Joe Buck. I know a lot of people don't like Joe Buck. I've always liked Joe Buck. I think he's great. I think all the hate he gets is stupid. Pretty much every game he's done has been good, in my opinion.
Oh, and look at Randy Moss. Suspend him immediately. That's disgusting.
Did he say that?
He's mooning the crowd.
Joe Buck said that?
God, do you remember when Randy Moss wiped his butt?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I remember when he mooned the Packers crowd.
That's it. He was like, "Oh, this is just disgusting."
All right, fair enough. You've convinced me.
You know,
that was a million years ago.
Joe Buck's off my list. He's being replaced by Buck Williams. Buck Williams is number one now. Sorry, Joe Buck.
You know, I think Joe Buck more hate than he deserved is because McCarver was so bad
he sucks,
that he you had to lump them together. because it was just so bad listening to him.
Well, I think Joe Buck is great at baseball, to be honest.
He is great at baseball.
I don't mind him for football either, but he's great at baseball.
And all that shit, like the main criticism he gets is that he and Aikman hate everybody's NFL team, pretty much. That's all anybody says. It's stupid.
I mean, not everyone can be Tony Romo. You know what I mean? Oh, the best play I've ever seen.
Well, just telling everybody what the play is about.
2 yard run up the middle. Yeah.
All right. They're going to run to the right. Shut up, Tony. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Tony.
Okay. So,
number one, Buck.
Yeah.
My number one buck is Crime Mob's Nuck If You Buck.
I'm going to need that one explained to me.
Nuck If You Buck. Nuck If You Buck. Nuck If You Buck. Nuck If You. Jesus Christ. It was like seven. Nuck If You. Well. I'm a gat-toting, pistol-holding... Oh, boy, I can't read those.
No, you're done.
Very problematic.
I still don't
know
what
you're talking about. Never heard Nuck If You Buck?
I still don't know what you're talking about.
How?
Who is that?
How? Who is that?
Yeah.
It's Crime Mob.
I got nothing.
didn't they just perform in the playoffs? Are they from Atlanta? Did they do a Hawks? Crime show? I don't know. That sounds familiar to me for some reason.
Crime Mob? Who the fuck is Crime Mob?
Little Scrappy?
Little Scrap?
I've never heard of these people before.
Nothing?
There you go. However you were holding it a second ago, do that again. I can barely hear it. That's better. I'm a guy who likes I primarily listen to rap, and I've never heard that before.
That's insane.
I agree with you.
Because I'm pretty sure that song was the what was that movie called? They're in Memphis, right? What was that movie called? Ludacris is in it. The guy who says Maine all the time is in it.
Yeah, Hustle and
rapper.
Flow.
He was a rapper in the movie. Hustle and Flow. That trick is Nuck If You Buck. Whoop that trick. Whoop that.
I never saw Nuck that movie. That movie looked dumb.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. That movie looked dumb. Is it not dumb?
It's not dumb.
Okay.
What are you?
The old rap aficionado.
Yeah, I know. Like, Mr. Know. Rap Guy ain't doing Memphis and Atlanta stuff. Like,
whoa.
Have you ever heard of Outkast?
Let's not bring Atlanta into the discussion.
Ludacris. Yeah, Ludacris. I mean, I'm just saying, Ludacris was in the Hustle and Flow. Just need to make sure you know who they are.
Ludacris has been in a lot of stuff, man. Yeah, no.
I can't believe you've never seen that movie.
I can't think of any Atlanta rappers. They rap in
Jermaine
Atlanta?
Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, yeah. JD, he's my guy.
I do love the Jermaine Dupri era.
Getting crunk.
Because it was rappers from Atlanta collaborating with rappers from New York. And all the New York rappers wore Atlanta Braves stuff. And all the Atlanta rappers wore like Tino Martinez jerseys. What an era.
It's like co-opting each other's culture, basically. That was weird.
Just switching four lanes.
Yeah.
You know, top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
That's a good.
I wouldn't really call
you should be a rapper, dude. That's good.
There were not many like cool Yankees off those old Yankee teams. Is it Tino Martinez?
Bernie Williams playing
Scott. Someone's going to have Scott
acoustic guitar.
Yeah, get a Brocious
get a Paul O'Neill jersey. There were no cool Yankees on that team. Seriously, can we think of David Wells? Maybe David Wells. He at least had the legendary story of like perfect game on a hangover. He at least had that.
Yeah, the Yankees dynasty wasn't cool. They got cool, like, and they were still good, but not winning World Series. Like, Gary Sheffield, pretty cool.
See, Jeter's not cool.
No, Jeter's a nerd.
He's the opposite of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, guy's overrated.
Yeah, Bernie Williams, might be more boring than Mike Trout.
I think we should explore the Jeter is overrated for the last 2 minutes and alienate one of our 13 listeners.
The guy was like a 297 slap hitter. Like, come on. What? The guy was net with it. A-Rod signed with the Yankees, and from then on, Jeter was the second best shortstop on the team. I mean, let's be real here.
Average defender, like noodle arm, slap hitter.
Soriano was a better shortstop too.
Yeah.
I will die on the hill that the great Jeter catch where he catches it and goes into the stands on the third base side.
Totally grandstanding.
So unnecessary.
He did it on purpose.
And he dove into someone's hot dog and got a little ketchup on him, and people think it was blood. So unnecessary.
Yeah. He was like, Derek Jeter was the Tim Tebow of baseball. He just always knew when the camera was on him. Played up to the camera. Like a totally, what a selfish player when you think about it. Ho, ho, the captain. Get out of here.
Fucking Nomar. Nomar is standing camped underneath that pop up.
Yeah.
When Derek Jeter was in New York, he wasn't a better shortstop than Alex Rodriguez, and he wasn't a better shortstop than Ray Ordonez. Derek Jeter, get over yourself. You own the Marlins because no one else wanted to buy that terrible franchise, and you made the playoffs last year because you played 47 games because you were super spreaders in a COVID year, and now you're under 500 once again, and you're never going to make the playoffs again. Derek Jeter, please leave. Get out of here. We don't want to see you. You won zero titles.
And that little flip it home against the A's too. Only reason that's a play is because he doesn't slide into home. Like if
we had HD, Jeremy Giambi is safe.
He's safe. We got replay. He's safe.
Call Secaucus, New Jersey. He is safe. Derek Jeter, you were propped up by circumstance and 9/11. There, I said it.